Hello and welcome to another edition of the International Intrigue Audio Newsletter. Now, this is normally where we read you our two main stories so that you can listen to them. But this week, we're doing things a little bit differently, and we're only doing one story, a little bit of a shorter format. Let us know what you think, and if you prefer it, or you'd rather us stick to the two-story format. Given that we're halfway through 2021, we thought this was an opportunity to take a look back at the first 6 months and some key themes. We hope you enjoy it. On to the first and only story. The three key themes of 2021 so far. Somehow it's July. Time sure does fly when you've been constantly inside, not having fun. And I know that you're all playing me the tiniest violin in the world. But now that we're closer to 2022 than 2020, and Australia has gone from bragging about being COVID-free to, whoops, we forgot vaccines were a thing, we wanted to pause and reflect upon the emerging geopolitical themes of this year. 1. Alliances are back. Kind of. Recently, I mused with a friend who attended the G7 in Cornwall about what, if anything, came out of that meeting. After a few beers, we settled on two key takeaways, though my memory is about as hazy as the IPA. Words. President Biden is keen to push the idea that America is not in decline, and the last 4 years were nought but a flesh wound. Actions. The back-to-back G7 and NATO summits surprised everyone by releasing joint statements calling out Russian and Chinese aggression. And in my diplomatic experience, negotiating a joint statement agreeing on the canapés being served would have been cause for swift promotion. President Biden's foreign policy team clearly believes a lack of real alliances is one of China's biggest geopolitical weaknesses. So, accordingly, the Biden team is eager to reassure traditional US allies that the US is back. Has their allies' backs, and won't go back. Actually, the Biden team mostly wants to reassure Europe, South Korea, Japan, and India. Meanwhile, the Labradors of the US ally world, the UK and Australia, are just thrilled to be in the room, any room, and get a bilateral meeting treat every so often. Well, that's all well and good, but alliances do not equal multilateral cooperation. An alliance is cooperation made possible because of shared national interests. But multilateral cooperation is when countries work together despite having very different national interests. So far in 2021, the US has been pretending that the former is the latter. 2. COVID-19, crypto, and weird economics. The best investors aren't always right, but they are the quickest to admit when they don't know the answer. And a consistent message in 2021 has been that even the best investors simply do not understand what the is going on. Is inflation coming? Is it already here? What does a post-COVID-19 recovery look like? Is crypto a bubble? Are asset prices about to crash? When you smash all those forces together, in an environment of increasing societal and geopolitical volatility, it becomes patently clear that nobody can know what the is going on. And yet, so many commentators pretend that they do. To quote a certain defense secretary, there are known unknowns, but there are also unknown unknowns. It is the latter category that tend to be the difficult ones. And I'm of course talking about Donald Rumsfeld there, who passed away this week. We think that inflation is the biggest known unknown in the short term. So few people in the West remember inflation and its effects, and our system is so heavily dependent on it being very low. Uncertainty aside, we can always look to history to draw general lessons. And here we've got a graph called the main stages in a bubble. It's well worth checking out if you get a chance. But basically it shows you the different stages through a bubble, which starts off with a sort of stealth phase, an awareness phase, a little bit of a sell-off, then a new paradigm and everyone's saying, oh, it's different to before. Then a return to normal after a little bit of a crash, and then the capitulation. And I think the implication of the graph is that we are getting pretty close to that capitulation, which is potentially catastrophic. Regardless of where you think we are on that timeline, the lesson for everyone is to focus on not getting wiped out. To quote Nassim Taleb, It doesn't matter how frequently something succeeds if failure is too costly to bear. Don't cross a river if it is 4 feet deep on average. Of course, because 2021 is particularly chaotic doesn't mean we avoid risk entirely. It just means that policymakers, businesses, and investors must engage with risk sensibly. Placing a high proportion of one's eggs in a single basket is a bad idea, no matter the eventual result. 3. Antitrust and the geopolitics of technology. A majority of people think it's long past time to rein in big tech. But it's also clear that our elected representatives haven't a clue where to start that process. To paraphrase Justice Potter Stewart, society doesn't quite know how to define our problem with big tech, but we know it when we see it. And we saw it when Twitter booted former President Trump on the 8th of January. Something must be done, some of the people said. But what and how? A few others asked in reply. But was Trump's de-Twitterstration really a question of antitrust? Or was it a freedom of speech issue? Perhaps a data sovereignty issue? An ethical AI problem? Maybe all of the above, or something different altogether? While we're not convinced that antitrust is the right legal tool to address the myriad issues caused by the tech revolution, it seems it is the default solution ever since it was successfully deployed in the United States versus Microsoft. Whatever you think about antitrust, two things are clear. 1. 2021 has been great so far for grizzled antitrust law professors who haven't been this relevant since Shrek was first in cinemas. And 2. The world has changed a lot since Microsoft was broken up. According to Benedict Evans, the famous venture capitalist and technologist, the problems that tech always had matter much more now, because they have become so much bigger and touch so many more people. The internet had hate speech in 1990, but it didn't affect elections, and it didn't involve foreign intelligence agencies. And by the way, we highly recommend checking out that essay that Benedict wrote, and you can find it in the newsletter. The Trump Twitter debacle unsettled a lot of countries who understandably aren't wild about tech executives making political decisions. Many of those countries, led by the EU and India, have begun to develop explicitly data-centric foreign policies. The splinternet feels more likely with each passing day. What we're watching for in the second half of 2021. 1. COP26 in November. It's easy to say international cooperation is back because long-standing allies decided to agree on some things they mostly agreed about anyway. Climate change poses a much greater challenge to international cooperation than a few chaps, and one lady, from the richest countries saying the enemy is over yonder while pointing to the east. 2. The German election. Speaking of that one lady, Angela Merkel will step down as German Chancellor in September. She's been a defining force in European politics since 2005. Mutti's replacement has a huge job on their hands. China and Russia will surely issue an early test of strength. Now guess would be another cheeky Russian troop build-up, perhaps near Estonia. 3. Inflation. Politicians and central banks will desperately try to tell you that inflation is under control. Whether it is or not will likely be the most consequential economic story in the short term, and will go a long way towards defining which of Ian Bremner's three visions for the future we end up in. 4. Epic vs. Apple. We'll be watching the international reaction to this antitrust case when it's handed down later this year. Experts predict an Apple win, notwithstanding the whole vibe of the thing. An Apple win would likely accelerate antitrust legislation in US Congress and confirm international suspicions that the world is too reliant on too many, too American companies. And there you have it. That's it for this week. Just the one story, as we mentioned in the intro. Do you like the one story, shorter format, or do you prefer the more full exploration of two big issues? Do let us know by either tweeting us at intintrigue, that's at intintrigue on Twitter, or you can email us by responding to the newsletter directly. And please do tell a friend about our work. It helps us grow, and we're dependent on word of mouth for that. If you have a chance, rate and review us in the iTunes store or wherever you download your podcasts. That's it from us. Until next week.